Welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. I'm sleepy.
Kevin's sleepy for the fourth week in a row.
I don't know.
No, this is your third week. This is my fourth week.
Of sleeping?
Yes.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, I don't know. I'm just tired in general this morning. You ever have those rainy days where you know, calipers flying through the sky and then suddenly it's dark outside, it's cloudy, it's murky. You just feel tired.
It's really not cool that Pelipper does that.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about that for a second. Pelipper has the ability Drizzle, right? You send it out, starts raining. That's kind of a not cool thing for Pelipper to do.
Yeah. Like, can't you just, like, stop?
What if, like, somebody's just kind of enjoying their day walking along the beach? They see these two people playing around in a rectangle and just throwing Pokeballs at each other, and a Pelipper comes out. They're like, ooh, look, big bird. Oh, looks like rain.
There needs to be fan art of, like, a couple at a picnic and then just, like, one singular rain cloud on top of them, and then Pelipper in the background behind the tree looking at them menacingly. Make it happen, people.
A wild Pelipper appeared. We have so much to talk about. Contrary to what that first little bit might have sounded like, we have so much to talk about today.
Believe it or not, yes.
Believe it or not. We have had the 2023 World Championships in Yokohama, Japan just wrap up earlier this weekend. We're going to be talking about the winners, the teams, the experience, all of that good stuff. But then also, while that was going on, we had so many new announcements. We have three new Pokemon, really, as well as a bunch of other stuff in Unite and Sleep and in just Pokemon Sphere, just the Pokemon Sphere. Welcome to PokeSports. It is going to be a time today.
Oh, absolutely. Where are we starting? Worlds?
Do you want to start with Worlds?
Let's get it out of the way. Let's There's just a lot of things to talk about with Worlds.
Yeah.
But before we talk about the controversy, let's actually talk about the players that won.
Yeah, we'll talk about that first. So listen, Worlds happened over the weekend. That was from August 11th to 13th. There were 336 players in attendance. This is a fully invitational tournament. Really, really good time. It was played in Regulation D. Day one was 7 Swiss rounds. Day two was 7 Swiss rounds plus a top cut, all who got X2 or better. And by the way, for anybody who doesn't understand what that kind of terminology means, X2 essentially means you can lose two of your sets before being eliminated.
Big sad.
Big sad. Plenty of diversity in these teams. Not so much diversity in one Pokemon. Now, everybody went into this thinking that Fluttermane was going to be that Pokemon. And to their credit, there were a lot of Fluttermanes.
It was close. Yeah, it wasn't far off.
Nope. There were a lot of Urshifus. I'm just going to count right now how many Urshifus there weren't. That's the easier way for me to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were 20 Urshifus in the top 26.
Yikes, dude.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good Pokemon, guys. Have you heard? I mean, not to just mention that, yeah, it gets two forms, so we don't know which form is which, but most likely most of those are water, just because water's right. Just taking over the game right now.
Yeah. Now, mind you, there were also 20 Fluttermanes that were in the top 26, but the top 10 teams all had Urshifu. And only 7 of the top 10 teams had Fluttermane on their team. So let's talk about maybe the top 4. We had in 4th place, Fedecampo VGC, Federico Camporese, who ended up with $5,000 and a 2024 invite to Worlds. So he's coming back next year. Yeah, he's done.
With the season.
Bank it away. Next. Let that money grow. You're good. We'll see you next year.
Rocking the Fluttermane Urshifu. We don't know if it's Rapid Strike or Single Strike, but presumably Rapid Strike. Dragonite, Iron Hands, Cresselia, and Ursaluna. Fedecampo with the Moon Bear. Respect.
Fedecampo brought the Moon Bear. The top only four. Person in the top four who brought Ursaluna. Or Cresselia, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two great Pokemon. Unfortunately, couldn't take the whole thing.
Coming in third, right alongside him, was Mao Harada from Japan, who ended up with $5,000 and also a 2024 invite to Worlds. All of the top four end up with a 2024 Worlds invite. Mao brought Fluttermane, Urshifu, Amoongus, Iron Hands, Chen Pao, and Landorus.
The Therian flavor.
Mm-hmm. So a very physically flavored team. Mm-hmm. That Chen Pao doing a lot, actually, for the Landorus, the Iron Hands, the Urshifu, does quite well for that.
It's interesting not seeing Chen Pao next to Dragonite. In fact, the one time that we saw Dragonite here in top four, it wasn't next to Chen Pao.
Yeah, right?
It's like a Pao Knight has, like, they have been each other's best friends for a very long time now. So seeing them just not even on the same team at all is interesting. But hey, yeah. I guess Urshifu is Chen Pao's new best friend.
I gotta tell you, Kevin, Chen Pao Dragonite does not show up in any of the top 26.
Oh, wow.
You see a lot of Chen Paos. You see a few Dragonites. Yeah, there are two Dragonites here, but none of them together.
They don't.
So if you're still using
like
Chen Pao Dragonite.
They broke up.
Yeah, they broke up.
Pao Knight broke up, guys. TMZ says it all.
Now, what does that say about that, right? Is that because you still see it on the ladder all the time, Chen Pao Dragonite.
I think what it says is that Ferrigiraffe might have been picking up a little bit. I know Ferrigiraffe has won a lot of tournaments in Regulation D prior to Worlds, like within the week into Worlds. So maybe people will just realize, okay, maybe Chen Pao Dragonite in the way. I just got to rely on something more consistent that doesn't rely on priority. They moved away from Dragonite and then just kind of hugged a bunch of other physical attackers like the Iron Hands.
Interesting.
Who knows?
Interesting. Well, coming in second is Michael Kelsch, otherwise known as Michi, or on Twitter known as Michael Derbesti. We've mentioned Michael Derbesti before. Prize ended up with $7,500 because he came second and a 2024 Worlds invite from Germany. His team involved a Dragapult, Urshifu Rapid Strike. Oh, is that actually an Urshifu Rapid Strike? Yes, it is. Oh, cool. If you highlight it, it shows what kind of Urshifu it is.
Oh,
Urshifu
yeah,
Rapid Strike, Rillaboom, Heatran, Chen Pao, and Ferrigiraffe. So there's your Ferrigiraffe.
Correct myself. Fedekampos was a single strike Urshifu.
There you go.
The more you know. Yeah, Michael, probably one of the most interesting teams here in top eight, I'd have to say. With the Ferrigiraffe again, we knew Ferrigiraffe was picking up the week prior to Worlds because just stopping priority is huge. Stopping Trick Room is huge. Setting up Trick Room if you have to is also huge. And you can just EV Ferrigiraffe to do what you need it to do. Also, only Heatran here in top four. Wow. Heatran's a cracked Pokemon, dude. It's so good. And if you can just have it in the right situation, it'll not go down. And it could just sit there and do consistent damage to the enemy side of the field, especially with the new Terrestrialization mechanic. Also, hey, I got a Dragapult here.
Yeah, I respect this team for a couple of different reasons.
It's very anti-meta.
It's very anti-meta. Instead of using a Fluttermane, it's using a Dragapult. Instead of using an Iron Hands, like 14 of the other teams in this top 26, it's using a Heatran. And it's got the Ferrigiraffe. I believe this is one of two teams in the top 26 that's using a Ferrigiraffe. Mm-hmm. And that works so well to counter that Iron Hands, which is so prevalent in this. So you can really see, like, you can create a narrative around why this team outperformed a lot of the other teams, Pilot excluded.
I'm a increase the narrative even farther. Michael Kelsch's first competitive experience was December of 2022. This is his first season competing in VGC.
Wow.
Made it to Worlds, made it to second place. Mara.
Yeah, he's built different.
I know. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. And then the winner of Worlds 2023 is Shohei Kimura, who went home with $10,000 and his 2024 Worlds invite, who came in with, get this, a Fluttermane, an Urshifu, an Iron Hands, an Amoongus, a Chen Pao, and a Landorus. So sometimes you just got to prove that the meta team will actually win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Shohei and Mao bring the exact same teams too, yeah. It seems. I'm just always impressed when a Japanese player can mm-hmm. win worlds, because you got to realize they play a completely different metagame than what we right? do. They don't play open team sheet. They play close team sheet, online tours, best of one. So now you're introducing a meta where you have open team sheet, best of three format, and they're able to take the whole thing. I mean, I don't want to take away from any of the other top four, any of the other players in the tour. It's cool that a Japanese player won in their own home turf. But on top of that all, they won in a completely different metagame than what they're used yeah. to.
So you no, this that. Is giving even, I think, more respect to the Japanese players, because they're technically out of their element mm-hmm. When they're playing in a best of three open team sheet. So, yeah, as you said, just to come out and smash so many players with just their, you know-how of the game is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. So that is that. I will say that in terms of prizing, people from 5th to 8th went home with $3,000. People from 9th to 16th went home with $1,500. So there's some good prizing there. Now, Kevin, then, I know you. And then, yeah.
And then our friend Neil VGC got absolutely nothing. GG, Neil.
Would have been the only Canadian to have won something, too. So you were close.
Yeah, good stuff on Neil. 17th, almost. Neil.
Well, actually, and then we've got Joe UX9 at 19th as well. Nick Navar at 18th. So
GG friends.
our friends were very close.
They got bubbled out of cash.
Very fair. All right. Kevin, I know you have been keeping up at least a little bit with the controversies that happened mm-hmm. at Worlds. And I don't want to call some of them controversies. Some of them are just straight up tragedies. But
yeah,
please do let us know what some of the stuff has been.
I mean, if you guys haven't been following, or if you guys have only been following Worlds through live streams, you probably wouldn't know about this. But if you've been following Worlds through like social media and you're part of the VGC community, a lot of top competitive players got their teams hack checked and then subsequently disqualified for it. So the way that this all panned out was the Pokemon company put out an email to all players competing at Worlds that specifically said, hey, we recommend you don't use any traded Pokemon because we're upping our hack checks, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of players looked at this. They're like, oh, okay, I got to completely redo my team now a week before the event. Or a lot of players looked at this and were like, Nah, we'll be fine. We'll be all right. It's Pokemon. As long as the numbers are good, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of top competitive players got disqualified. I'm just not going to mention who they are because they probably don't want to be mentioned.
No, of course not.
And if they did, they tweeted about it. You know about them already.
Right.
This is, I don't know. A lot of people are saying, hey, this is warranted, which I do agree. Believe it or not, I do agree with. Yeah. They deserved to get disqualified.
Yeah.
But I also, at the same time, don't think this progresses the metagame in a positive direction. Because, yes, they deserve to get disqualified. They were warned for it. They should have known better. Yada, yada, yada. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the other realm, I do think that this doesn't promote the game, right? This makes it harder for people to play the game. This makes it harder for new players to enter the game, being like, okay, I have to enter. I have to build a team, and I have to get everything right. I have to learn EVs. I have to learn IVs. I've always thought that learning competitive should just be easier, just sure. in general. Like, you can hop on Unite, pick a Pokemon, Unite. You can play a game. You'll be fine. You have to choose three items, and then that's all you have to do. Pokemon, I mean, like, come on. Like, you gotta pick the stats of each of your individual chess piece before you even start right. up a game.
Playing the game is hard enough. And there were a lot of people online who rebutted with, like, it's just that easy. Just don't cheat. It's not the cheating that I think we're all talking about. It's the fact that we can't use traded Pokemon. We can't use traded Pokemon. Yeah. We can't use gifted Pokemon through surprise gift or anything like that. Like, what if you got a shiny shiny Fluttermane just through a surprise gift
or something?
Like, yeah. To me, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm super happy about that. But to anybody else who sees that email from Pokemon being like, hey, careful, we're upping our hack check, that's now a red flag. Because, like, I would like to just kind of use the Pokemon that means something to me. And to me, using a friend's Pokemon who has, you know, made this Pokemon or bred and traded and trained and EV'd and IV'd and whatever, like, that means something to me. But it gets scary when now you have to doubt every Pokemon on your team. Now, I will say that the way that they handled that was pretty okay. If you have one Pokemon that doesn't pass the hack check, you just have to take that Pokemon off of your team. You can still compete with five. If you have more than one Pokemon that's been triggered by the hack check, then you're disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I don't mind that they do that. I think that it's good for them to police it a little bit, but let's not, like, you always need to give an alternative when you take something away. You can't just say, you know, of the many ways that we have created for you to obtain a Pokemon, you have to do it this way in order to compete in worlds. Like, that's a little not, that's not cool.
This is the one thing that I'm not okay with. Mm. Not the one thing. One of the things I'm not okay with is the fact that they have a game that allows these Pokemon, which they deem illegal, to get traded to random strangers and children and players alike. Why can a Pokemon be caught in a hack check at a tournament but not be caught in a hack check when it's being traded?
Right.
Why can't the trade fail if the numbers don't work? Why can't the trade fail if there's no home tracker on a Hisui Pokemon? There's just things that are in the game that should be able to warn players before they are bringing these Pokemon to events. Especially if these trainers are players that were just like, hey, I thought it was fine. I was gifted this in Swish. What's happening here? Right. But I don't know. They're policing it at the tournament level, but not policing it at the in-game level. And that's where I have a little bit of a disparity to it. Not to mention that there are rumors from very credible people, but I'm sure TPCI might never admit to it, that people were their teams were absolutely fine.
Mm.
They were hack checked in prior rounds. Then on day two, they went through boxes and found Pokemon that weren't capable in the boxes. That's complete garbage, dude.
Mm.
Like, you're not bringing those six to the tournament. You should not get punished for having, again, any traded Pokemon in a box.
Right. Because, again, I do a lot of surprise trading just to kind of see what I get. And, you know, I don't know if the Pokemon that I receive are going to be hacked or not. They just kind of sit in my box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, you know, the actual tournament time where they're like, yeah, don't use those Pokemon. And I can, to a certain extent, be like, yeah, okay, no problem. I won't use those Pokemon. I'll keep them in my box. Do not scan my box.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They shouldn't scan a box.
Yeah, they should not.
That's ridiculous. Not. Yeah. So you're saying that you can get disqualified for a Pokemon you have in box 32 on the bottom left corner in between, like, a bunch of Snivy eggs? I don't know. That seems dumb to me. Mm. Seems so dumb to me. But that's just my opinion. The only reason I don't think TPCI will admit to it is because it is in the rule book that they cannot do that. They can only check Pokemon that are in the team, in the tournament play.
I see.
But I see that that might have not been the case for every player. Okay. The other reason the other thing that I kind of understand why they did this time around is because Japan does have very aggressive save data tampering laws when it comes to video games. I don't know if you knew this, but
no,
like, you can't have like a modded GTA in Japan. It's not okay. They don't like that. They have very strict, I guess, developer protection laws for that case.
Okay.
So this might have been Pokemon's way of, hey, we aren't going to support this. We're not breaking any laws. All these Pokemon we are going to guarantee are legal in our tournament, which I understand that part too.
To that part, I get.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, that's the thing. I think, like, we all respect the rules when it comes to Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I would like it if those rules were clear-cut and those rules were consistent.
It was handled poorly. I think that I should have an in-game hack checker so that I know before I fly 2,000
yeah.
miles away if I have the right Pokemon for this event, you know? If I know that I will not get disqualified for this level of, you know... I don't know. There are players that spend $5,000 just to get DQ'd. They should be able to go on Battle Stadium and have a flag that says, hey, you can't use this here. But no, we're still allowed to use Expanding Force Hatterene on the ladder.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's inconsistent.
I'll bookend it with this. Make the care consistent among the rest of the space. Mm-hmm. If you're going to care about it at Worlds, care about it in game, care about it online, and then nobody will have a problem.
And don't care about it a week before the tournament, which is almost not enough time to rebuild the whole team because that's how long and tedious it is.
Plus, I mean, people are practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were also a couple of technical issues that affected a few people as well, which not stellar. Kevin, do you know about this?
Yeah. So what happened was in top 16, someone tripped over a wire and six games disconnected all at the same time, mid round two. So they were entering, if not finishing, game two of these rounds. So a lot of the matchups were already like practically determined, right? They got the game one. They were in game two. They were winning game two. I think the most notable player was Emilio, who is like one of the most consistent and greatest players in like competitive Pokemon history, especially in like the last 2 years, who had a game win on game one, was winning game two and then got DC'd. And then it went into sudden death. That was the ruling. The ruling was, okay, all these games DC'd, we're not going to sit here and try to reset the game or try to get the game state to reset round two or anything. They said sudden death. That means regardless of whether you won round one and regardless of whether you were winning round two, the first Pokemon to get knocked out on either side wins the game. That's what sudden death is.
And that so if you have a removes all strategy from VGC.
It's just like, okay, double attack into a slot.
Sometimes you need to lose a Pokemon to win the game, you know?
It's like, okay, so whoever has the fastest Pokemon that hits the hardest and that can double up into the same spot on the weaker Pokemon side wins the game. That's not skill. That's
well, it
this is.
This
is top 16, dude.
Okay, hold on. Because it is, but it's not the game that people were there to play. If you were there to play that game, I would have a completely different team that does that. I would a completely different meta for that kind of a system.
I'd rather have you reset the whole round.
Sure.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I don't know.
That affected quite a few players. And coming from a production background, I do work in production. That happens. You can't control, what people do and don't trip over. You can control how things are set up. And it sounds like somebody probably got an earful. Some company, whichever one managed that, probably got an earful for that situation. It's not ideal. You don't want that to happen ever because that affects multiple people, not just the players, but the tournament organizers, the company itself, like it affects everybody. You can't have that happen. Somebody probably got real mad at somebody else. So I would rest assured that at least it won't, not that it won't happen again, but it will definitely be looked at by probably a different company, if I'm honest.
I don't even know if that's the company's fault or the game's fault for not having safe states inside of a battle.
Well, there are things that the game can do for sure.
Yeah, like why can't every battle just have safe states in between every turn?
But that's coming from us.
Back to a turn.
Yeah, that's coming from us, the players. Like as people who don't play the game in production, they're not going to see that. They're going to see somebody tripped over a wire and it affected all these people.
Mm.
So now it's the wire's problem and whoever set that up.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
But other than that, Worlds was great.
Yeah, other than that, Worlds was great. I'm so happy the Worlds happened. We just went on a 15-minute tangent about all the problems of it. But Worlds was fantastic. It looked really fun, and the pictures and statements that I'm seeing from people having a good time in Yokohama, it just it triggers my FOMO really hard. But it looked like a fantastic time for the players.
Mm-hmm. Worlds is also in Honolulu, Hawaii next week. Next week. Next year.
Back to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's like the fourth time, right?
Yeah. This one I am more likely to go to. I will say that now, because you don't have to be as finicky about travel arrangements when you're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, you just fly to Los Angeles and then fly to Hawaii. It's not there too complicated. Yeah.
Not so bad. The thing I will say about that is also Play Pokemon put out a statement on August 13th at 4 a.m. saying our hearts go out to those who've been impacted by the devastating wildfires in Hawaii. And by the way, from us as well. Oh, my goodness. It's tragic what's happening over there. Mm-hmm. Play Pokemon says to support relief efforts, the Pokemon Company International is making an immediate monetary donation of $200,000 to its partner at Global Giving through its Hawaii Wildfire Relief Fund. And then they gave a little blurb saying like to learn more about Global Giving's local relief efforts and to join in supporting the people of Hawaii, please visit globalgiving.org/Pokemon. It's fantastic that Pokemon is making an effort to go and support the people of Hawaii. I know they have a long history of doing worlds over there. They have a long history of doing, just things, Pokemon related things over in Hawaii. Heck, Alola was Gen 7 was based off of Hawaii. Yeah. Like they, yeah. It's awesome to see them supporting in any kind of way.
Yeah, we gotta stop the cancel culture of every time a company donates somewhere, we just complain that it's not more money. That's I don't know. That's just, guys, they don't have to. We're lucky that anyone's giving any money to anybody.
What Kevin's talking about is there were some people who were saying, oh, 200,000, that's it, kind of thing. Where like, no, they're giving support. They're giving support, and let's let them give support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then also we can give support as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
As people, okay. Let's move on. The Pokemon Company right now is having some conversations about how to ensure game quality with regular releases.
Okay, at least they noticed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. According to Takato Utsunomiya, chief operating officer at Pokemon, conversations are being had about how to keep up the series' regular releases of games while also maintaining quality. So if we're talking about like a new game released every 3 years, it's difficult to keep up with your game, to provide updates to your current game while also working on the next game without stepping on the current game's toes and losing all your people.
I think the answer is just more people, right? More people.
Like hiring more people for it?
Having a bigger team. Like, I think Game Freak in general is like only a couple hundred, right? It's not a lot.
I think Freak. They do kind of pride themselves on having a lean team. And there is there's a lot to be said about a lean team.
169 right? is how many people work at Game Freak.
If you get too many people on a team, things can start to get a little muddy. And things don't get pushed out as quickly. Fixes don't happen as fast. And with a release every 3-4 years, like you kind of need speed in getting things ready, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that. Bethesda team size.
Oh, no. Now you're just going to start looking up all the team sizes.
420 okay, cool. plus, it's like three times more than Game Freak. I don't know, man. They can make it happen.
So that's Bethesda. What's another one?
Riot
Games. Oh, let's not look up Riot, man. There's like 7,000 employees there. Riot team size. I'm actually curious
about
now.
Retro
yeah, there's
games.
4,500 Rioters.
Yeah. Oh, Retro Games doesn't exist anymore. That's right.
What Retro Games? Who did Retro
Platinum.
Games?
Platinum Games.
Oh, Platinum Games. Okay.
Platinum Games team.
What games did Platinum Games have?
Bayonetta.
Oh, okay.
361. Okay, so it looks like the sweet spot might be a little bit more than 169.
All right.
I don't know. The other thing that they can do is, as much as I love how ambitious Game Freak has been the last couple of years.
Sure.
Maybe just jumping from wild area to complete open world experience might have been a big jump.
You think so?
Kind of. especially when it comes to like load states. And have you ever noticed how nice like the actual max raid battles look when you catch a Pokemon? Like, you could tell they spent months on that animation, but then the way that it actually functions is completely different. Because like, the game will break, it'll crash, it won't give you rewards, it'll give you like I'm still complaining about the game a year after the game released. So you guys have heard all of this before. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but you know, there's a couple things they can do. I'm sure that Pokemon realizes it, and Pokemon's going to do something about it. Whether or not it'll happen by the next game, who knows?
Okay, fair enough. All right. Can we move on?
I think so.
Okay. We have, in way more positive news, so many more announcements for the DLC. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero, Part 1, The Teal Mask, and Part 2, The Indigo Plateau?
Disc.
The Indigo Disc. That was it. What's the Indigo Plateau? That's another thing. Indigo Plateau.
That's where the first game's league is.
That's where Ash... Yep. Yeah. Sure is. All right. Well, we got a bunch of information. This one was actually not for specifically the Teal Mask. This one was for the Indigo Disc. Mm-hmm. I almost said it again.
The Indigo League.
Yes. Yeah. Did we talk about last week about how the Raikou Paradoxmon was shown, or was that after? No, yeah, we talked about as it was coming out. Yeah.
We didn't have a typing for it or anything.
Right. So we didn't have any information for it. Now we have a lot of information for it.
We just had its neck. That's it.
We just had its neck. That Pokemon is Raging Bolt.
Ooh.
Electric dragon type with a signature move, Thunderclap. Thunderclap strikes before an opponent's attack, which to me sounds like an electric sucker punch.
Yeah, it feels sucker punchy.
Which is kind of cool. Seems like it fails if the opponent doesn't go for an attack. So if an opponent goes for a protect, or if an opponent goes for like a sleep powder, Thunderclap won't hit.
Which is kind of cool. I like the fact that they're giving Dragon Raikou some more priority moves, because Raikou in general doesn't have any priority moves. And Raikou as a Pokemon has gotten speed crept for like 6 generations in a row. So it's not fast anymore. Looking at this thing, I don't know. Brontosauruses, they don't move very fast last I've seen, so this might be a little bit of a slow guy, which is kind of cool. I do like the idea of like, hey, take a Pokemon that was notably fast and make it slow.
That's right.
And give it more tank. Evolution made it faster, I guess.
Do you think that it is a faster Pokemon, that it will be a faster Pokemon?
No, I think Raikou is a faster Pokemon. I think it's going to be slower. Yeah, it's got that slow vibe. It's got some big feet. It's going to trip over those if it goes too fast.
So it's a tanky, strong kind
special
of thing. Probably.
Attacker, yeah,
special
maybe.
Attacker, I would think.
Thunderclap. I don't know. Thunderclap sounds physical.
No, not to me.
Oh, yeah?
Sounds like it's coming from the thunder, from the clouds.
Oh, I thought it was... I
get it, because it has the word clap in it. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, it could come from the clouds. We'll see. Smack you with some clouds.
Yeah.
Electric
dragon.
I would
think it, like, in lore, right? This is if somebody's about to attack, right? So they take their fist, they're like, hi-ya! And then boom, lightning right on their fist.
They smite your fist. I get it. The thing with this, it also implies that if and when we get Entei, it's going to be a fire dragon, which is cool.
Right.
Yeah. I think this trio's gotten like a super buff here. Like, electric dragon's pretty cool. Water dragon's really cool. Fire dragon's really cool. A lot of those are like practically exclusive to restricted Pokemon previously.
Right. Or Turtonator.
Yeah, I mean, we don't count Turtonator as a Pokemon though. Or Kingdra. We don't count that one as a Pokemon either.
That's true.
Looking at Palkia, we're looking at Reshiram, and we're looking at Zekrom.
What's the other electric dragon, though? We had the water dragon in Uno, la la la, in...
Oh, you're talking about Dracozolt.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, we had those, too. But these are resurrected from Lugia.
Right. Right. That's fair. I didn't even think about that. But honestly, those like even those fossil Pokemon, they were used, right? Dracozolt and Dracovish. They were used. It's just their stats and their moveset didn't really synergize too well.
The fact they're not in the game.
With their current metagame, and also now they're just not in.
Yeah. They're not here.
Didn't hear anything about that. Didn't hear anything about those.
No, where fossils are those guys at all. Gone? Listen, if those ever come back in DLC, a lot of people weren't thinking about this. But you know our friend Driplin over there? Reducing... Diplin. Yeah, Diplin? Oh, Driplin is what it wears when it goes out shopping.
That's right.
The Diplin has... What's it called? The
Super Sweet Syrup.
Yeah, that one. Since it has that, you can run things like Hustle Dracozolt next to it. And just... Just benefit from having a Hustle Dracozolt here at full power and full damage. Wow. Currently, we do have things like Hisui and Lilligant that do also get Hustle, but having two grass types next to each other is meh. I'd rather have like a electric dragon next to the grass type.
Right. Well, that's cool. And then the other Pokemon that we got is Iron Crown. Iron Crown is a steel psychic type. So like Kevin was saying about the resurrection from Lugia's, how they're they're all with the dragon typing now. Likewise, all of the Swords of Justice seem to have a psychic type plastered onto them, right?
All so of the had, resurrections from Keldeo.
Right. Iron Leaves had psychic and grass. Iron Crown is steel psychic, which leads us to believe that Terrakion, whatever that ends up being, is going to be rock and psychic.
Can't wait for Lunatone. Yeah, Lunatone that don't float. Got it.
Could be
good. Got Bronzong that don't float, Lunatone that don't float, and Exeggutor that don't float.
Could be good. Iron Crown's signature move is Tachyon Cutter, which is a two-hit steel move, which always hits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a smart strike or a swift, but two-hit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were looking at the trailer. They were like, hey, look, it could knock out Mimikyu. Brother, it could knock out Focus Sash Flutterbane. That's what I'm worried about.
Say goodbye to Flutterbane, folks.
Hopefully.
No. Flutterbane's going to be just fine.
It can still hit you with the Shadow Ball. You might need a Dark Terra.
Yeah. Good luck making a Pokemon that's faster than Flutterbane that can handle it before it handles you. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on top of that, in that same trailer, we got word that all starters from past games are going to be appearing in part two, the Indigo Disc, which is huge, absolutely huge for the game.
It's the first time in a long time. Yeah, since these starters are coming. There's a lot of starters that weren't even in a Switch game. They're now coming into a Switch game, which is kind of cool.
Right. Pokemon like Totodile, Pokemon like Chikorita. I think it's like all of Gen 4, right?
Well, we have... Oh, we don't have Infinite right now, so maybe.
No.
Yeah.
We've got... Okay, so I've got all of the list in front of me, right? So Pokemon that haven't been there in a while. I'm just going to look and say off the top of my head who I haven't seen in a long time. We've got Chikorita, Totodile, Treecko, Torchic, Mudkip. I know those three were in... Swish, but
Sword and Shield,
not
maybe?
Treecko.
I think they were all in. That's just my I don't remember. Anyway, they were never used.
We definitely have all four of the Gen 4 ones that weren't in there. We've got Turtwig, Chimchar, and Piplup. Oh, I'm looking at just pictures. That's not good for me. Oshawott, Tepig, and Snivy all haven't been seen with
Oshawott was in Paldea though,
right? With exception of Oshawott and Paldea, or in Hisui. Yeah, so it's going to be really cool to see all of those Pokemon. We've got Fennekin, Froakie, and who we already have, and Chespin, which we already have as
I think
well.
We have all three of those right now.
We have Fennekin.
Yeah, I played a magician team.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
My
lady.
Okay. So really, really exciting to be getting those back. Kevin, I know, isn't excited for Incineroar, but
Yeah. Such I was life. Waiting until you said Litten, but yeah, it's coming back. It was in the trailer. We saw it there. Everyone mm-hmm. run. But thankfully, it's coming back at the end of the year and not immediately. So hopefully by the time we go to Toronto, it's not there in the metagame and I could avoid it for at least one more regional.
I don't think it'll be there in Toronto.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Might be a little bit too early for that.
If it's coming in winter, then it's probably, I would say, going to be there for January or March. Yeah, one maybe. Of those two. One of those two.
We'll see.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool that like we have a terrarium now of all of the starters, which
they introduced it.
Some people have been saying that this means that we can actually legitimately shiny hunt starters for the first time ever.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Without restarting a game a bunch of times.
That's really good, actually. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that you weren't able to do that before.
No. Yeah. The only way that you could do it was to restart your game a bunch of times.
That's no fun.
People are happy about that one. All right. We also have a bunch of new moves. We have two new moves that we were told about. We have Psychic Noise, which deals damage and prevents opponents from healing. It applies heal block for a certain amount of turns. It actually says a certain amount of turns. And I assume that it would be five because it looks like it like literally applies heal block.
The text actually says heal block. Yeah, in the actual trailer. So
yeah,
we can assume.
We can assume. And so what that means is any Pokemon that would have healed HP through any means, whether that's leftovers, whether that's through recover, whether that's through Lunar Blessing, can't be healed. So you have things like what your Ursaluna pops out. If somebody uses Psychic Noise on that, it does damage and suddenly their Lunar Blessing's not healing them anymore. The trailer showed them using it on a Dondozo, which I thought was hilarious because the Dondozo is all about healing up, right? You've got leftovers, you've got rest on that thing that brings its HP up. I'm curious how it works with rest, but I'm pretty sure it just puts the Pokemon to sleep and doesn't heal it.
Yeah, that's what happened in the trailer.
Oh, is that
the trailer was rest? Yeah.
Oh, it went to sleep and didn't get healed. That's so sad.
It's kind of funny.
That's really funny. Go for a rest. Just doesn't feel better. All right. And then the other Pokemon, the other new move is Upper Hand. Upper Hand strikes before an opponent's priority move, which seems to flinch as well, which does flinch as well, as long as it goes off. So, Kevin, say the line for me.
It's a fake outing fake out that doesn't fake out unless the opponent's fake out fake outs.
There you go. So if your opponent is going to be using a priority move, this Upper Hand hits first. And it knocks out, or not knocks out, and it flinches that Pokemon. But if they're going for a non-priority move, it does fail.
So it's very situational. Mm-hmm. I wonder how it works with Prankster. I think Prankster would still work, right?
So
because it makes priority plus one. So the way it's coded might just be like, hey, if there's a plus one, this might happen.
Nah, I don't think so. Because it does say an attacking move on the text.
Attacking move.
Yeah. So like if we're talking like a Thunder Wave that got a plus one, that doesn't count.
That seems a little dumb.
Yeah. It's gotta be
okay. Damage. That move
it's
sucks.
A very,
next.
Very specific move. Yeah, Upper Hand. But
how about you just be a faster fake out user?
If this has a higher priority than fake out, I think that's actually really good.
So that just means it has to be plus four and not plus three. Yeah. We'll see.
But I mean, again, like we're saying it that sucks, just, but I don't think so because you know what? If
that just limits the pool though.
Yes. But then they have to be incredibly careful because if you start saying that like Prankster moves are okay, do you limit it at protect as well? Is it an anti-protect?
Who knows? I guess we'll see. the thing that I'm disappointed about is that if this is only attacking move, only attacking moves, then it's only good against like, can't even name 10 attacking priority moves like fake out, bullet punch, sucker punch.
Yeah. Aqua Jet, Ice Shard.
But you got to predict those to happen.
You do. Really do.
Now, the one thing that this has above fake out, though, is that you can, it seems like you can use this not because fake out will fail unless you use it on the first turn. This looks like you can use it whenever you want. So if you just predict the pull-up punch to come, you can be like, okay, sorry.
Right. I mean, you can use it as a covering move for a partner Pokemon to go and use something else. Right. If you're going up against a Chen Pao, like a very common problem right now is when you have a Chen Pao on the other side of the field, it can just sucker punch you and knock you out before you can do anything. Now you have a partner Pokemon using upper hand on Chen Pao. Chen Pao takes the extra damage because of sort of ruin. And your partner Pokemon that is faster than Chen Pao, like a Fluttermane really, can now Dazzling Gleam to go and take that out.
The other thing that I do notice it doesn't say is that Fake Out will fail if you use it twice in a row. This doesn't say it will, though. So if you're like against an E-speeding Dragonite, then okay. Flinching him every turn is kind of funny. Like a choice banded E-speed Dragonite, just like flinch, flinch, flinch. He's not allowed to play. You can just click flinch in that one spot and then attack with the other Pokemon in the other slot until the end of the game. Just
yeah. So it could be kind of interesting to see what happens there. I feel like upper hand isn't going to be used super often, but it is
depends
going
on
to
who
be.
Gets it, yeah.
Yeah. I think in open team sheets, it's going to be a little scary to at least see a Pokemon with that move on there. You're going to be incredibly hesitant to go and hit any kind of priority move when they have upper hand. Because the problem is, too, that when you're using upper hand, that does use up a move. Like one of your two moves that you're using that turn. And if your opponent is aware of that, then they just won't go for the priority and take that free turn to go and attack you with regular priority.
Yeah, it's super situational.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great in close team sheets, though. You can just catch someone off guard. The other thing worth mentioning is that I think compared to the Isle of Armor, so far, these move tutor moves seem a little bit underwhelming. I'm hoping to see some more out of this. Because we got Expanding Force, we got Grassy Glide, we got some good moves in Isle of Armor.
Right.
These seem a little, okay, I might use this.
I can't imagine that they would have shown us the best moves now for part two.
Okay, fair.
I feel like the best is yet to come kind of thing. This is just a little bit of a taster. Like, hey, we're working on new moves.
We'll see what happens.
Could be.
Does that mean we're not getting new moves for part one? Or because part one's in like less than a month.
If I had to guess, I would say that they're probably going to introduce a few new moves.
Mm-hmm.
I would just stay tuned for that. Yeah. We have some more Pokemon Unite news as well. We got some Pokemon Unite news during Worlds. We have three new Pokemon joining Pokemon Unite. We've got Blaziken, Mimikyu, and Meowscarada. Meowscarada is the first Scarlet and Violet Pokemon heading to Pokemon Unite.
Oh, is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to see it. They all look like Unite Pokemon. I can all imagine them moving around and hitting things. I like that.
Yeah.
What was funny is that I don't think Mimikyu and Meowscarada were planned to be announced at Worlds, and they accidentally leaked it at Worlds, which is what I heard.
Then they have to play a little bit of catch up on Twitter. Yeah. I just saw yesterday they went and revealed it as well.
They're like, oops.
Whoa.
Well, I clicked the button.
Yeah, apparently 4:14 a.m. was a big time for Pokemon to go and release a bunch of announcements. August 13th at 4:14 a.m., there were quite a few tweets.
It's almost like they were in Japan.
Yeah, but specifically 4:14.
Oh, okay.
Could have been 3:14. Could have been 3:16. I don't know.
Hey, we got some free stuff in sleep.
We got some free stuff in sleep. There's a big update and a couple of future features and adjustments that they're going to be in Pokemon Sleep. Of course, Kevin and I are still playing Pokemon Sleep all the time. Stuff that's currently under development. They're going to be adding some new Pokemon. They're going to be adding new alarm sounds, relaxing sounds. Do you use the alarm or relaxing sounds, Kevin?
Not at all.
No, not
at all. I use my own alarm.
Right.
With actual noises that are loud.
They're going to be putting in night mode for the loading screen, which is kind of cool that you don't have to be staring at a bright screen right before you go to bed. It says responding to an issue that makes it difficult to meet one's bedtime. That's my life. How are they going to fix that?
No, I think the actual thing that they fix is that if you start bedtime, they give you like a half hour window to actually go to your bedtime, but then the app won't start counting you as sleeping until like 45 minutes in when you're in REM or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you miss the bedtime.
You miss bedtime even though you went to bed at bedtime. So you that can't choose when you go into REM. So it's like, oh, okay.
They say responding to an issue that makes it difficult to collect berries, among other things located near the edge of the screen. And that is something that I've been dealing with since day one, where if you hit a Pokemon that's a little too low to the screen and it drops all their berries like under the shop button.
Yeah.
It's like you have to move around a bunch to get, you can get all the berries from everywhere, but it is super inconvenient. A
struggle.
Yeah. And I remember earlier on, I don't know if it's still like this, but earlier on, if you clicked on the shop button by accident and it brought that up and then you went back to the main screen, your berries were gone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's not good. Big bad.
Right. And then it says putting on the good sleep day event starting Wednesday, August 30th, which is.
Oh, we got a date. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. Known issues slated for improvement in the future. They say Pokemon recovering energy while inside the Pokemon box. That is something that I have been struggling with as well, because I've had a Pokemon that I've swapped out into my box and have just kind of sat there. And I don't want to go and bring them out because I've got other Pokemon doing other things. But then they're just there with no energy all the time.
Yeah, they should, even if it's a little bit. Like, I would understand why you don't want to give too much energy to a Pokemon in the box, so you want people to spend money on your energy pillows. But even just a little bit.
Like a third.
Yeah. Let me get something back while it's sitting there. They're sleeping while they're there.
Right. We've got an issue that causes the app to run slowly or freeze on some devices. It runs perfectly on mine, but how's it run on your archaic ancient phone?
It's good enough.
Okay. Good enough. Cool. Got it. You've said all that you need to say on that.
Works.
And then we've got further optimization of battery usage during sleep tracking. I have no idea how that works.
If you're not charging your phone, you're doing it wrong.
Right. I mean, also, I have started using the Go Plus Plus. It is better than I thought with sleep tracking now that I've given it a fair shake. Like, it tracks.
It does good enough. Yeah. Doesn't report, but though,
because of that, if you have Pokemon Sleep on your device and you haven't gone and checked yet, you probably have presents waiting for you. They went and gave everybody 10 Poke Biscuits, 30 Handy Candies, one Growth Incense, and one Focus Incense.
Listen, 30 Handy Candies. You multiply that by 3 because one Handy Candy is one Pokemon candy. That's
everyone
90 candies.
Everything.
I had everyone at like 60 candies because I was just holding candies trying to get to the Evos. And I was just like, okay, 20 for you, 20 for you, 20 for you, 20 for you.
I don't know how you did that. Like, I'm looking at my Pokemon and I'm like, I have like 16 candies at best.
The thing that I do is the second they hit the level that they evolve at, I don't give them more candies. I just hold.
Same though. Like, I'm sitting at like level 12 now for a couple of other people, but I don't have nearly enough to go and evolve them.
I don't know.
That's amazing.
Luck.
Luck. Yeah, Kevin's just a big
Kevin
Luck
is translated into sleep. It's not in VGC.
Kevin gets great Kevin Luck in there. Yeah. All right. And I think that's it for all of the stuff that we have today, but I can go through a couple of questions too. We have a little bit of time. Okay. Let's see. So last week I asked, what did you think about the Pokemon Presents announcement? What are you looking forward to most? We got a couple of good answers here. Dropped My Wallet says, honestly, my general feeling was, oh, cool. But then I saw the reveals after Worlds, Thunderclap started, et cetera, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, I get it.
Because what are you going to do, right? Like, you make a big 35-minute presentation, but at the same time, you have your biggest event of the year next week. So it's like, you don't want to front load everything, but you want to give a little bit of hype.
The only thing that I was a little bit sad about is they gave the hype, but they didn't announce too much new stuff.
Mm.
So I'll see how much more they announce before the actual DLC comes out. They just clarified on what they already had.
Well, I think if they had announced the starter thing on that 35-minute announcement, people would have been like, this is the biggest announcement Pokemon's ever had.
I think they should have done that just because there was a rumor that they were going to reveal Incineroar the day before Worlds and then make it legal for Worlds, which is a stupid rumor. It's a stupid rumor, but people believed it. They should have revealed that starter as that starter trailer and then just said, coming soon. Just...
Oh, here's something. There's a follow up from last week. I got a couple of messages from people about how Unite emblems work, and I thank you very much for doing that. That really changes my mind on how Unite is going right now. Where a couple of people were like, "Oh, it's not actually about the specific emblems. It's about the colors that they represent, and you have like
about the
three black and two whatever." Because that's where the real numbers come in. And while I agree with that, I'm also like, ooh, but I don't like it if I lose and I have a silver emblem and they have a gold emblem, because that might mean that that one point made all the difference.
It does probably come down to didn't. Skill, though.
It's the skill that makes the difference.
Yeah.
But
you just hyper optimized to like want the best.
That's
League of Legends just kind of drew it out of us. Like, okay, let's spend a bunch of money on rune pages back when those existed. But now it's like, here we are with rune pages again, and we can't spend money on these.
Right. And also got a message that platinum coins are actually not better than gold coins. They are the same.
Oh, okay.
They're just like a different skin. It's a little like,
oh, collectible,
feel good kind of thing. Yeah,
got it. Look at me, I played the game during this time.
Right. So Harry says to that credit, Unite emblems don't take that long to pull. In my opinion, they're giving out extra energy tanks like crazy at the moment. Platinum are purely aesthetic, event only. There's only three, two of which are free right now. Fair enough. Okay, so I will go and update Unite, and I will check back with you next week after I've played a couple games.
Oh, snap. Yep. Mike made a promise.
I'm going to do it like right after this. I have it planned. It's in my calendar. Look at my calendar. Mewtwo and Altura says, I just saw Presents because I spent 9/8/23, August 9th, watching the SGNDP SG. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, so did I. It was great.
Yeah. But I absolutely love Iron Crown, OP material. P.S. Marie Curie's Mewtwo is a bit upset about letter limits. She can't use her real full name.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's getting the Feraligatr treatment. Let's see. McGundam says, it was good. The anime and the DLC, wanted to see what new Pokemon were being dropped and being brought back, aside from the obvious hook Pokemon that they promote. The hook Pokemon, I guess, being Raging Bolt and Iron Crown.
Yeah, they're there to get our attention.
There is a new anime out right now, or a new animated short.
Yeah.
So you can go and watch that. The Path to the Peak. Path to the Peak.
Also, there was a whole new Terra type we didn't even talk about, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, dude. There's a 19th Terra type.
Yeah, there's a whole Terra type.
Okay, get into it. Go off.
So the trailer showed us a cool rainbow Aurora type with all the types of what could happen. It's assumed to be that, hey, Terrapagos is the reason that this type exists, so it's probably coming in DLC too. So what happens is we don't know yet. That's the problem. It's the speculation. But any Pokemon can learn this, and Terrablast gets boosted off of it. There's some speculation online that what it'll do defensively is that it makes you receive one-time stab from all types. So you're not weak. Yeah, you're not weak to anything, but you're also not resisted to anything. So that's kind of like the give and take.
Right.
And offensively, what people are kind of presuming it'll do is give you 1.5 times stab on all types, and then the types you were originally become the 2 times stabs.
Right. Which is, I will say right now, I called that the second that it happened. So I'm stamping my name on this one. I'm saying that, you know what, this is what I think is going to be. I think it's going to be the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of like
makes sense.
It makes sense, but at the same time, like, what reason would you have to use any other Terra type but this Terra type? This is a great Terra type. they have to limit this.
Resistances. Specifically resistances.
I guess. Yeah. That's fair.
Like, if I'm...
But you lose resistances, though. So, like, if you were a Charizard that was getting hit by a grass-type move, you're now neutral to grass and not four times resisted to grass.
Sure, but let's not forget as well that you lose immunities.
Yeah. Right?
You go normal type, you're immune to ghost. You go flying type, you're immune to ground.
You lose that now.
Yeah, you go dark type, prankster can hit you. Or you don't go dark type, prankster can hit you.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see. We'll see how it works.
There's some use cases to not use this, but yes, I agree. It is a wonderfully cool Terra type. We'll see.
If this is true, we still have no confirmation.
I'm so sure that this is what it's going to be. I am going to bet my bottom dollar on this one, man. And if they do anything other than this, it's going to change the game completely. I think this is still going to be a pretty big change for people, but this is... Yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool change.
We'll see.
All right. Anyway, that's been PokeSports for the week. I hope you enjoyed. And if you did, please do make sure to go and answer this week's question of the week over on Spotify, or to go and check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/PokeSports, because we've got lots of stuff showing up there all the time, as well as streams going there often. I've been posting a lot on TikTok. So if you want to go and check that out, TikTok and Instagram, at PokeSports or at PokeSports Podcast, because we couldn't get at PokeSports on Instagram. Definitely go and check those out. Yeah. Kevin, you got anything to talk about this week?
I got a Spidops team this week. It goes exactly how you planned.
I apologize. On behalf of PokeSports, it's not us. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.